My name is Sam Bass. I'm going to be your moderator today along with David Hartman. And, of course, we're all here because of Bob Hoover. But before we get into that, this is Vietnam Veterans Week. For all you people that served in Vietnam and Southeast Asia, and any veteran, will you please stand up, all veterans? Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. You're all heroes in my mind. Anybody that puts themselves in harm's way for the defense of our country is a hero. Now, the Vietnam veterans, when we get through with this little presentation, if you'll come down, we have a little token for you. We'd like to give it to you. Connie Bolin will be handing them out. And while we're speaking of Connie Bolin, this is called the Bolin Memorial Warbirds Plaza. It's named after my best friend. Connie's my best friend, but my best friend Ed passed away here in April. This is named after him. Everything that you see here is because of Connie and Ed Bolin. They are the ones that created this. This is Warbirds of America. EAA does not support this. We would love to have you to join the Warbirds of America. 90% of the people don't have airplanes. They just love warbirds. I'm one of them. So please, if you feel like you can, support us and join the Warbirds of America so we can keep these presentations going. We've been doing this for, I think, 12 years. I'm not sure. But I've been on it since its inception. It's made a life of its own. My history is that I've been flying 60 years. I had 5 years in the Air Force, 35 years with Delta Airlines, and 20 years flying the B-17 and for the EAA along with the tri-motor. We've got Judd Nogle here. He's an expert on the T-34s, and he's going to be coming up. Judd, would you come up? And Judd, in just a minute or two here, he's going to talk about the T-34, particularly the T-34 A and B. We won't get into the C model. But the T-34s were, for the Air Force, were supposed to. I was in the last class in my base to fly the T-6. T-34s came in. They were designed to replace the T-6. So he's going to tell you something about the T-34 and A and B, and also how suited it was for replacing of the T-6. I got my own personal opinion on that, but we won't get into that either. Now, David Hartman here, everybody knows David Hartman. He is the first host of Good Morning America. He's got over 12,000 interviews, and that was 2 or 3 years ago, so he's probably got a lot more than that now. He has done numerous aviation documentaries. He's highly respected by anyone in the aviation community for his knowledge and his dedication to what he does. He received the Aviation Space Writers Journalism Award, David Hartman. We also have Harold Cannon here. He is the president of the Warbirds of America, and he has been a great supporter of what we're doing here at this Warbirds of America, at Warbirds in Review. So he will be over here to just make a couple of comments. And before I go any further, we've got Bob's book here. And if you don't have this book, then you don't have a library. So go spend some money and buy it. So, David, without further ado, I'm going to let you take over.
Hey, let's talk about the T-34.
Okay.
And then we'll talk with Bob.
Okay, the T-34 was originally designed by Beech Aircraft in 1949, or actually first flew in 1949, went into production and flew in the Air Force in 1953. U.S. Navy saw that how successful the 34 was with the Air Force and went to Beech and had the B model design, which the Navy used from about 1956 through 1973. Not a lot of differences between the two airplanes other than a few minor things where the B model for the Navy was designed without nose gear steering, so it would be more maneuverable on the carrier deck for training purposes, and slightly different fuel system, and 1 degree more dihedral in the wings gave it very little differences between the two. But there was about 1,000 B models made for the Navy and about 600 for the U.S. Air Force. The 34 turned out to be a very good trainer for him because it was very easy to fly. It was capable of doing all the instrument training, aerobatic training, and worked out very well for him.
Good. Harold, how, as president of Warbirds, how significant is all of this that Ed and Connie have continued every year to build and build and build, and you as the president of Warbirds, how significant is all this and why?
Well, David, it's tremendous. this particular program has grown from people standing around an airplane to what you see today, the Jumbotron, the video production, so maybe you'll see yourselves on TV flipping channels someday, we hope. That's all grown up very rapidly, and they deserve all the credit for getting it going and pushing it. It's just a great thing. I've been told that of all the turnstile turns at AirVenture, 98% of those people come through our area before they leave. And we're really proud of that. And David, I'll make one very quick shameless plug because the main event's over here waiting. But the shameless plug is go buy our membership tent, go buy the Merchandise Mart. You can belong to Warbirds of America. We have nearly 6,000 members. Only a few of them own or fly airplanes, but they're all enthusiasts. They all love history. They love our country. And you would be very welcome, and we would appreciate your support. We also send you a really cool magazine.
Good. Harold, thank you, sir, thank you very much. Why don't we sit down? Good morning, Mr. Hoover.
Good morning, David.
How are you today?
I'm fine. This is a real privilege for me to be out here today with you and Sam. I'd like to kick things off a little bit, David, if you and Sam wouldn't mind. I guess I've been called a patriotic freak. I think that if we don't know the meaning of the national anthem and that flag that we've cherished so much, with its full appreciation for what it stands for, we're missing the best bet in the whole world. It stands for freedom. It stands for everything we believe in. I had a little mishap, and for over a year, I couldn't look up and see that American flag. And my location was probably a country club to any prisoner of war situation that's occurred in our country. They didn't mistreat you unless you misbehaved. And I'm not very healthy because I didn't misbehave. And what I want to share with you is that our veterans who were in the prison camp and all the other wars we fought other than in Germany went not only hungry, we went hungry, but they were not just starved, they were mistreated, they were abused. And in Germany, it was like a country club because you didn't get mistreated or you didn't get beat up or knocked unconscious unless you tried to escape. And I'm one of the dummies that I thought myself, I'm a patriot, I'm never going to give in to anybody. I'm fighting for our freedom. And when I couldn't see that flag, it made me angry, and it made me want to get out of that place any way I could or make it as miserable for them to contain me as it could possibly be. And I'll admit, I was beaten up and dragged out unconscious. Some fellow wrote a letter to the VA after the war, and he said, I watched him beat him to unconsciousness and drag him out, and I wondered if he ever survived the war. Well, obviously I did, and I'm proud of everything that happened, but I want to just impress on the young people who don't truly appreciate the thousands and thousands of people who have given their lives for this freedom that we all enjoy. I have never seen a more patriotic group of people in my life than the aviation people. Wherever I go in the world, just for an aside for a second, I was in China, and I'd never been to China before, and this was after World War II. And I was riding along in a rickshaw, and I thought, my gosh, I'm so many thousands of miles away from anybody. Nobody speaks English. And I was in a rickshaw, and this little fellow was running and pulling me along. And I heard my name called. And I thought, I'm in the middle of China. Who would know me over here in China? And I stopped, asked the guy to stop, and he stopped. And I turned around, and this guy was waving at me. And all of a sudden, about 50 people stood up and started yelling my name. They'd been on a cruise ship, a bunch of aviation people. And I tell you, I felt like I'd gone to heaven without dying, because we all had something in common. And that's this organization like EAA and all of us who are involved in aviation promotion always. We've always got friends. Wherever you go in the world, you're not a stranger. You'll see somebody that you'd like to visit with. And that's something we can all enjoy. And I know that you're just as patriotic as I am. I've never met an aviator who wasn't. Enough of my lecturing. Thank you.